Good morning, good morning, good morning. On this beautiful fall day, my name is the Reverend Pam Phillips, and I am joining you from our meeting house on Gladewood Drive in Blacksburg, Virginia. And I've shifted my perspective so that you all can see the tree outside our window in the sanctuary. It still has beautiful leaves on it.
I'm Victoria Taylor. And I am happy to be leading worship this morning with Rev Pam from my home at Yellow Sulphur Springs between Blacksburg and Christiansburg. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. If this is the first time you've joined us or the first time you're willing to, please fill out a virtual visitor's card. You can find the link in the chat. This way we can update you with email and get to know you better. We invite you to stay after the service for a virtual coffee hour. We'll go into breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at the grounds have been, look really good because they, members of our congregation worked on them yesterday. They always look really good, but I'm very grateful for the people who came out yesterday, put in their hard work and moved that building. We have a calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. And it takes a lot of volunteers to make all of these activities possible. So I'd like to thank all of them as well. If you have a joy or a sorrow, you would like to share it aloud this morning, there will also be a link in the chat to fill out.
I'd also like to lift up a few announcements this morning. The anti-racism group is meeting today at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock is our, 7 o'clock, sorry, is our Monday meetup. And Tuesday evening, we have a caregiver support group. I especially want to encourage anyone who finds themselves in a caregiving role, caring for a parent, a spouse, a child, or a friend, to consider attending this group. As we think about what it means to be a people of healing, it's important for caregivers to share their challenges and their gifts with one another. Think of it as an opportunity to help heal and be healed in community. And you can find the Zoom link for that on the calendar. And also, I think, in our weekly emails. And now I would like to invite our religious educator, director of Lifespan Faith Development, Karen Hager, to tell us what's up with RE.
Good morning. Just wanted to give you a couple of quick reminders of what's going on in Lifespan Faith Development.
Today is the last day to sign up for the Buddy Project, our effort to help folks of different generations build relationships at UUC. Each year, we match up children and adults as buddies without sharing our buddies' names. Buddies get to know each other over the next several weeks by exchanging short notes or small gifts. This year, we're providing addresses and an email box so that buddies can communicate via snail mail, email, or by surreptitiously dropping off items on doorsteps, without being seen, of course. And all buddies get to meet each other at our online buddy party in December. Registration closes today, so click the link in our email announcements and register this afternoon. You too can make a new buddy at UUC. Also, we have another social action project coming up called Mitten Tree. Each year, we decorate a tree with items that are donated to the Montgomery County Christmas Store to help keep our neighbors warm this winter. Mitten Tree will be held this year, but with some changes due to COVID. On Sunday, November 22nd, we'll be holding a drive-through donation drive/tree decorating event from 2 to 3 p.m. Bring your donations of new mittens, gloves, scarves, and hats to UUC and hang them on our tree. We promise an appropriately festive holiday mood while you experience the real meaning of the holidays by giving to others. If you can't make it that day, a donation bin is located outside of UUC so you can drop off your donations before the big event. We'll make sure they get hung on the tree. And before I go, I thought I'd show you what the kids were up to in RE last week. Our pre-K class read the storybook Scaredy Squirrel and made acorn crafts. Our K-5 class watched the Pixar short Sanjay's Super Team, talked about heritage, and designed their own super teams based on their own family's heritage and tradition. And our middle school class watched the Simpsons episode, Bart Sells His Soul, and talked about Christianity and the existence of the soul. See you next week.
Now we will light our chalices. If you have one at home, please get it. And I'm going to invite Anna and Avi Vijayan to light their chalice. And we will also light a chalice in the sanctuary.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
Thank you, Avi. Today, I would like to share some opening words by Maureen Killoran. Welcome, you who come in need of healing, you who are confused or have been betrayed. Welcome, with your problems and your pain, and welcome too your joys and your wonderings. Welcome your need to hope, your longing for assurance. Instead of answers, here you may find safety for your questions. Instead of promises, may you find communities for your struggles, people with hands and hearts to join you in engaging the challenges and changes of our day.
And now we've asked Tom Booby to lead us in reading our congregational covenant.
I'm gonna run a short plug here for a second. In 3 weeks, it'll be the 30th anniversary since I signed the book. So I'm proud of that.
Happy anniversary.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Thank you, Tom. Each week, as part of our mission, we donate half of our offerings to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week, the recipient at our virtual service in honor of Veterans Day will be a program called Warrior Expeditions based in Roanoke. This is an outdoor therapy program that helps combat veterans transition from their wartime experiences through long distance outdoor expeditions, including hiking, biking, and paddling. The organization provides everything to complete these expeditions, and it is provided at no cost to the veteran. It includes gear, training, and orientation. Please see the screen and the order of service for ways to give generously to those in our community. And as we do that, please join me in reading the words of acceptance. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
This morning, I'd like to share a prayer. It's adapted from a prayer from a colleague, Reverend Dan Schatz. So I invite you into the mood of meditation to settle yourself. Take a deep breath. And be present to these words. Spirit of life. Spirit of love. Open our hearts to possibilities for healing. In the anxiety of this time, the troubles of our lives, and the division of our nation, help us find peacefulness, compassion, and unity. As we honor veterans this week, remind us of the sacrifices made on our behalf by those who acted without political agenda, but with dedication for the ideals of this country. As we struggle through the pandemic, give us compassion for one another in the fear we all experience, and help us respond by caring for others with the precautions we take, the patience we give, and the forgiveness we share. In a time of national transition, teach us that we are better than our worst impulses. Help us to bridge division, transcend violence, and overcome hatred. Be with those who are grieving today, who are afraid of the coming years, and also be with those who are celebrating and relieved. Open all our hearts that we may understand one another's struggles and joys and fears. Be with those who are leaving office, and be with those who will lead us through the next 4 years, so that we may have a smooth and peaceful transfer of power. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, open our hearts to the possibilities for healing and guide us as we move with hope into the future. Amen, and blessed be. So today we're going to do a reading together, Victoria and I. It's by Fred Recklow. Cure may occur without healing.
Healing may occur without cure.
Cure alters what is.
Healing offers what might be.
Cure is an act.
Healing is a process.
Cure seeks to change reality.
Healing embraces reality.
Cure takes charge.
Healing takes time.
Cure avoids grief.
Healing assumes grief.
Cure speaks.
Healing listens. Healing listens. It's no accident that our month of healing follows our month of deep listening. Pam asked me to share today a little bit about what it is to actually be a healer, for that is my profession. I'm a licensed acupuncturist, and I have been for over 30 years. Acupuncture is my science, and healing is my art. You know, I'll always be the healer. I will always see suffering, and I always want to help. It's just my nature. I love my work, and I hear say that I'm pretty good at it. If I try to visualize what my life would look like in a different time or a different place, I always come out as a healer, or maybe a Unitarian Universalist minister, but you might know that is the same thing. Through my work as an acupuncturist, I've learned a lot about healing. I've learned that healing isn't linear and that sometimes it's messy. I've learned that it's not personal and it's deeply personal. I've learned that while the presence and ministrations of a healer may initiate a healing journey, each of us must ultimately heal ourselves. I've learned that we can do that healing work anywhere or with anyone, and that the support and attitudes of our community might be far more influential than any of us might want to admit. Once, many years ago, I took a workshop with the teacher Carolyn Mace. I don't remember what it was called, something like Transformation for the Healing Professional. The only thing I remember from that workshop is when she looked at us and said, healers, get over yourselves. Sure, you have a gift, but everyone does. Healing is your job. And in that moment, I realized that while my healing nature might be special and that my skills are specific and perhaps rare, it doesn't make me any more than anyone else. I am trained in an effective technique, but that's not the secret to healing. Each of us has a gift, and we all must use them to empower and heal ourselves, our families, and our communities. The centering quote today was, "Be a good farmer." This quote comes from the work of Michael O. Smith, who is a late psychiatrist and acupuncturist. I first met Dr. Smith at an acupuncture conference in 1999, where he presented on the work he had been doing for decades at the Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx. Lincoln was a public hospital, and it was actually taken over by community members led by the Young Lords in 1969 in an effort to expose inadequate care and corrupt city policies. These revolutionaries wanted to provide services which truly addressed the needs of their community. And these services included addiction treatment, public health testing, and maternal care. Dr. Smith was charged to develop programs which addressed substance abuse in the neighborhood, and through the influence of local Black Panther leaders, discovered that acupuncture could actually be more useful than methadone. Together, they developed a simple 5-needle protocol known as the NADA protocol, which is designed to be delivered barrier-free and in a community setting. I have been using this method since 2002 as one of my healing tools. Being a member of, and now a trainer for, NADA, N-A-D-A, which may stand for the National Acupuncture Detoxification Association, or it may stand for nothing, it has taught me a lot about the nature of healing, especially as it relates to cultural equanimity, as well as individual and community empowerment. Dr. Smith was a true universalist. The first line of the NADA ethics pledge, signed by all members, and we have tens of thousands, expresses belief and dignity in the worth of all human beings, and a commitment to provide service for the welfare and betterment of all. Dr. Smith attributed the success at Lincoln not to the acupuncture per se, but to this approach, which is now called the spirit of NADA. He created spaces where individuals felt safe, where they felt heard, felt supported, so that they could discover their own strengths and paths. Dr. Smith taught that each human being has hidden seeds, qualities and characteristics we cannot see. And those seeds are our innate goodness and healthy birthright. He believed, as I do, that there are no bad people. There are only bad choices and terrible consequences. He shared that if we dug up a seed in January, just to see what was there, we would destroy the seed's potential. You have to remember he was working in the Bronx in the 70s. The full quote is, "People, like seeds, develop and grow in the coldest, darkest, hardest space with the least amount of support. It may seem counterintuitive, but we need roots in our own private space before entering the outside world. So be a good farmer. Know in which season to rest and know in which season to work. Know what part of a person can be given guidance and what part is private." This quote also reminds me of the first directive of the wise woman healing tradition, do nothing. Knowing when to intercede is an important part of healing. Think about the work of a farmer or a gardener. We all know many of you were at the meeting house yesterday, putting the gardens away from the winter. Not much was blooming, but your work is essential to the success of the gardeners, the gardens. This is the work of cultivation. With apologies to Ecclesiastes, in some seasons we reap and in others we sow. Sometimes we add water, in others we dig trenches to remove excess moisture. Cultivation is not doing the same thing over and over. Cultivation requires flexibility, vigilance, observation, patience, and compromise. So as an acupuncturist, that's my job. I cultivate people, but you do too. We wait for people to come to us. We provide safe space for their authentic self-expression and discovery. We provide tools for altering their personal biome. We listen, we support, we encourage, we hold back. We celebrate change and mourn loss. We uphold ethics, including safety and confidentiality. We offer, like the reading says, a vision of what might be. What I do as a physician is to minister. The Latin root of the word minister is to serve, ministare. And the word physician actually comes from the word meaning relating to nature, really serving nature like a farmer. Being a good healer or farmer also demands rigorous self-reflection. Healer, heal thyself, is no joke. It is crucial for all of us to understand our own limitations and vulnerabilities, to take good care, allowing time for self-reflection, rest, nourishment, and personal space. We also must allow ourselves to be ministered to. We must receive in order to give. Dr. Smith would say, when people heal, they want to help. That's the natural order of things. At Lincoln Hospital, Dr. Smith made sure there were opportunities for his patients to participate in operations and to assume leadership and clinical positions. Dr. Smith thought that when the professionals outnumbered the community members in the room, opportunities for healing lessened. The model of community-based recovery at Lincoln has spread far beyond the Bronx. It is now used all over the world in all sorts of programs, offering, like the words of our reading, what might be, embracing reality, taking time, and listening. Michael Smith, interaction and richness is what works. Your message must be variable. It's what you bring to the situation. Keep it simple, so complicated things can happen. Make it complicated and people won't understand. If you want to change a person's life with a 10-second message, it has to mean something to that person. Intelligence and wealth and process are inside the client, not inside the practitioner. As we look at ourselves, our friends, families, communities, and we see the broken bits, do know that you are a force of healing. First, do nothing. Be patient and listen. Then determine what is wanted and needed and which of your gifts you can share. Be a good farmer. Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria, for sharing how you see your role as a healer. She is a good healer. I had some acupuncture done yesterday. I love the image of the healer as a farmer, a cultivator of seeds of health and wholeness. Thank you too for the invitation for us all to see how we can participate in healing. And your recommendation that we be patient and listen resonates especially this morning. Many of us have been practicing patience this past week as we've waited for the results of the election. We shared an uneven and unnerving path of emotions, taking us through excitement, anxiety, despair, cautious optimism, disappointment, relief, back to anxiety, and so on and so on. until yesterday, when over half the country felt great jubilation and celebration, and the rest fell into denial or despair. And as we wake up this morning, some of those emotions may feel more muted as we face the uncertainty of the future, as we remember that the election of one ticket over the other may feel like a cure for what ails us as a country, but it will take more time, more patience, more listening for true healing to begin. Those of us who were surprised that the election was as close as it was were deeply disappointed. Disappointed that so many of our fellow citizens have such different beliefs and perspectives. We received a stark reminder that the current occupant of the White House did not create so much as uncover and exploit those deep divisions. We need healing. And the political campaign has likewise revealed to what lengths some people will go to protect what they believe might be stolen from them, their privileges and their freedom. Plots to kidnap governors, bringing firearms to rallies, trucks surrounding campaign buses. Rarely have we seen such extreme reactions to our political differences. And the possibility for unrest and violence continues. The transfer of power between this administration and the next won't occur until January 20th. We need healing. But to be truly healed, as the reading suggested, we need to embrace reality. We need to recognize and acknowledge not only the deep divide, but the underlying conditions. Like an infection deep in the body, our nation must grapple with injustice, with inequity, environmental degradation, to say nothing of the global pandemic. We need healing. But along with those underlying conditions, we also have seeds of health and wholeness. Yesterday, a quotation popped up in my Facebook memories, and it reminded me so much of what Dr. Smith said. It's the Holiness, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who wrote, "We should never forget that even in the most perverted and cruel of human beings exists a seed of love and compassion, which will one day cause him or her to become a Buddha." We have strengths and wisdom. We have qualities which we cannot see. We have people who are willing to tell us what is wrong if we will only listen. We have scientists and researchers who can give us tools to help heal the planet and help heal ourselves. We have people who will urge us to follow the better angels of our nature. So let us embrace the reality that our country is in need of healing. Let us embrace the knowledge that our contentment that has been shattered by understandings that we hadn't had before gives us the opportunity to embrace reality and to embrace healing. Let us cultivate those seeds of love and compassion. Let us all become good farmers. Amen, and blessed be. Let's be emboldened by our faith. Let us all answer the call of love. I'll ask Jamie to extinguish the light of our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. We carry those with us into our lives until we are together again.